Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. So great to be here today. And I'm really excited about today's show. I'm excited about life. Okay. So my guest today has traveled to over 60 countries, 60 countries around the world, soul blazing. That's what she calls it. She has fearlessly studied in cultures of the Sufis, the shamans, the Bedouins. Thank you. And the Maasai tribes. And come to find what makes her soul blaze. And that's the name of her process, the soul blazing process. Welcome, Lisa. Hey,
hi. So good to be here.
So glad to have you here. You're so much fun. What inspired you, first of all? I mean, Lisa's so much more than just a traveler, and you have your master's in psychology, right?
Yes.
And you have been coaching people as a life coach for probably over a decade, well over a decade.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did you get started, first of all? Let's backtrack, as a life coach.
Well, I was in the film industry. I wrote and directed a couple of independent films and a short film. And then I started working for the BBC doing a documentary on saving the endangered species. And you know how that is when you're producing. You're working 12, 14-hour
wow.
days,
mm.
and you're getting paid like $500 a week, but mm-hmm. you're doing it for the love of the project.
Right.
My hair started falling out. I was like 110 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm like, something's got to give. So after that project, I said, I need a break. And independence, you're doing it for the love of the projects. And I just decided, what would I like to do? And the answer didn't come to me right away, so I thought, study. You know, go in, because when you're on the treadmill of life, when it's so fast and you don't have time to be with you and know who you are
yeah.
and what really turns you on, or you can't see your life vision. So I decided psychology would be a great way to go. It's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I signed up for this psychology program, and in it, I just blossomed. Everything I wanted to learn and to understand about myself or what choices I've made really started to be highlighted. And our instructor said one session with Lisa is like 10 years of therapy. So when I graduated, because I had traveled a lot before that, and I'd been in life very messy, you know, I really get my hands dirty in life. I like to play hard. So I brought all that with me before even studying. So when I graduated, I had 100 clients. It's just banging on my door. So it was so easy. So I just thought, oh, I don't want to do this. I want to go back to writing and directing or producing. But so many clients were there, and I just sort of fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to reach out to my Hollywood client friends from the films I've worked on. And all of a sudden I'm on sets and I'm working with actors and difficult actors, and it just happened.
Mm.
And then 15 years later, I'm still here and loving it, expanding it. Letting it grow and breathe.
Was working with actors with their issues as the same as working with your everyday person? Was there anything different that made their problems any worse than ours?
They're all the same. Yeah. The only difference is theirs is highlighted in the press,
mm-hmm.
and their behavior could affect a whole set, which is talking about over 100 people, and it could disturb the final product of a film. So it's just has different stakes.
Yeah, different stakes.
Yeah.
So in your experiences, then you went on from life coaching. You said, "Okay, I want to travel some more. I've taken care of people, and you're contributing and giving to people. What's the calling for the travel? What does that give you?"
Well, I never set out to be like a therapist one on one. It just started happening. So I again took a little break and said, what do I love? And I went back to travel's my love. And I think travel is so important to me because that's where you really shift and grow. Like I just took a trip to Barcelona to have my daughter go to school in first grade there for 1 year. And I thought, oh, fun, another trip. And moving to another country is very different from vacationing there or just taking a workshop or studying with the Maasai tribe or studying with Aborigines, whatever it is, for 3 weeks or a month or 2 months. So I came across a lot of challenges. But I think if you never put yourself in challenging situations, how can you be a good life coach or a therapist? I can't just read books and say, what's the latest thing that came out, then regurgitate it to clients.
Yeah.
I think you have to live life if you want to help other people reach their highest potential. So now I know so much more about life, international travel at a different level, parenting at a different level. Mm. How do you let your daughter or kids have a different experience in enjoy being in another country away from everything familiar to them.
Right, friends and so forth. You've said so many times the word love, and you have this deep desire to fall in love with the process, with the passion, with the travel, with whatever it is you're doing. You've said that so far, that you really just love the process.
Yes.
Yeah, the passion.
I love the process. People have told me, oh, you know what it's going to take to build a career in this? Oh, you're going to do a film. You know how much money, you know, the struggle. Are you up for that? And it's like, even if it doesn't happen, I like the process more than the end result.
Yeah.
I have found that over and over again, that's where the juice is. You cannot be afraid of the process.
Yeah.
You cannot be afraid of growth. And so many people, that's their fear. They don't want to push themselves or I don't speak the language. I would never do that.
Right.
I don't want to do all the paperwork or all the visa stuff. You know, I'm being, you know, questioned left and right because I'm Middle Eastern and I've spent so much time in the Middle East and I've been in Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Cairo and lived in these places. They're like, why do you want to live in Barcelona? What other trips are you planning on taking?
Interesting.
So it's a lot of jumping through hoops and, you know, stacks of paperwork to do. But it's interesting. So it's expanding what I knew before. Because when you get comfortable, you know, I live in a nice house. I have a husband. I have a daughter. Everything's pretty and neat in a nice, you know, box with a pretty bow. And when I feel like, oh, I'm not growing much, I like to shake things up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm really shaking things up.
Yeah, but in a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
Now, what is soul blazing?
Soul blazing is a process I created, and I got the name from actually a lifer. I went to Chowchilla Prison with a group of therapists to be of service. And my last person on the last day, we were there for 4 days, would not cooperate. And she said, I've been in therapy for 22 years. It's not worked. I'm a lifer. I'm never going to get out. And I said, you could still help people. She said, no, I can't. She was the bully of the bullies. And long story short, I said, okay, I'm not going to do what we're told to do here. And I put my chair very close to hers and I put my eyes like 2 inches from hers and I looked in her eyes and said, you know what your problem is? And then I just laid it on thick. Basically, I was reading her internal thoughts about how she felt about herself because I know a bully or anyone who is not nice hates themselves. Mm. And feels a lot of shame and a lot of guilt.
And alone.
So I just told her, this is who you are. And then she just freaked out. And 20 minutes later, she's crying and saying, Lisa, you blazed my soul. And I went, you just gave me the name of my company. And you said you had nothing to give. And we bonded and it was just beautiful. And I, you know, put her on a path to help her take baby steps to loving herself. And
do you keep in touch with her?
Not anymore, but I did. And within 6-7 months from a payphone in the prison, she raised $60,000 for battered women because she was in there for killing two husbands. But she said that they hurt her and you know, the story. It's
of course. Yes.
So she went there to help other women so they wouldn't not get to that point to actually ruin their life because of someone who's hurting them.
Oh, my goodness.
That was very impressive. So the people at the prison were saying, what did you do to her? I said, I blazed her soul. So anyway, so that's how it came about. So basically what soul blazing is I learned that it's hard to confront someone one-on-one, just like these are your issues, or do you think you're a little narcissistic here? Or do you think everyone gets defensive or it takes a long time to reach them? So I created the imposters based off the ego. So most people don't understand the ego because it's a big bite to chew. It's, mm-hmm. So I broke it down into 8 compartments. You know, your narcissist, your inner counselor, your fixer, your overthinker, your clown.
Your victim.
Your victor, yes. Yeah, wounded inner child, your sex god goddess. Mm-hmm. Broke it down into 8 characters. So I said, which one do you do life? How do you get what you want? Do you use sex, either give it away or withhold it? Do you become mean and step on anyone to win? You don't care. Do you spend your time fixing other people's problems so you don't have to fix yourself? Mm-hmm. Are you all, you know, whatever it is, do you overthink things so much that you can't make a decision so you're in the same place? So once I work with that person, I said, put you aside. I'm going to speak to this person, your overthinker. Then I have them name that person. Then I could go to town on them. You're ruining her life.
That was what I tested on. So I that's funny you picked that up. I took your challenge.
Yes.
The test on the website, which was, I don't remember what it was.
The soulblazinginstitute.com, the imposter model.
Uh-huh. That's it. Okay. So there's a quiz that you can take on who's your imposter. And mine was the overachiever. No kidding.
Yes.
I think I've accomplished more than like 10 people in this lifetime.
Yes, but it was easy and effortless to a certain, in a certain way for you because you are driven by your passion.
Yeah.
I don't think you're driven by the end result. No. You're just showing up.
Yes. Yes. It's part of the problem because I don't set that many goals.
Yes, yes.
Which is part of the challenge. But I do really love and I dive into what I do wholeheartedly. And then I forget to set the 3-year, the 5-year, where are we going?
Yeah,
I realize I got a team and I haven't set a goal and that's not good for the team. So it's for me, I loved learning about that, about myself and what it is that now talk to my overachiever.
Well, overachiever is under some of the other ones. Are you talking about the overthinker?
Yes, sorry.
Yes, the overthinker is someone who overthinks everything. So they don't make a decision and they just let life, you know, take them on the ride. So you're doing that, but you happen to be very lucky that you're very talented and you don't know where you're going, but you know what ride you're on.
Uh-huh.
You're saying, I'm getting on, you know, Space Mountain and I'm just going, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. And it's worked for you. But for most people, they go on the wrong ride or they keep jumping off. I don't know if that one's right and jump back onto this one and that one. And it really...
It's helped. I mean, age has definitely helped because I've been on the Matterhorn and I got off and I went on to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
So I went on the slow boat and it's much better this way. But yes. That only comes from experience and
yes.
burning out and understanding that it's much better. Life's much better on the slower boat because you can experience it more and you can go throughout the journey a lot more. But for anyone else who's living from that place, and they're living from that wounded inner child, that the narcissist, the sex god or goddess, the philosopher, the clown, the fixer. What do you suggest to those people? How do they stop living with the mask on?
Well, I use the metaphor of a pit bull because so many people are afraid of pit bulls. If you put a pit bull on a leash and you train it, they could be the best dogs in the world. Mm. One of my friends just got one. I was petrified to go over her house and she said, no, it's a nice one. I'm like, no, I'm scared because I have this fear of dogs anyway. But this dog just came and started licking me so much and she stayed on my lap the whole time and I'm petting going, I never thought I could do this with a pit bull. But it's trained and it's a sweetheart because it's been given love. And so I think if you put your imposters on a leash and you control them where they don't control you, so you're not reacting, you're responding. But keep them there because that's what makes you interesting. We're all like an onion. These are your layers that make you you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to get rid of a piece that's actually you. I don't believe you can. Some people say you can. I don't buy that.
That you get rid of those broken pieces.
You can't. It's a piece of your fabric. But you can control it. You don't have to live your life from that place. So if you could actually put them on a leash and say, okay, I'm going to use these when I want to by choice – then that's how you tame these imposters. And then you become an interesting person and you can move forward in life. They're not holding you back because you're not living with the fear mm-hmm. of whatever it is that's stopping you. You're living with power, knowing you have these imposters to assist you, not hinder you.
Now, can we talk a little bit about your fearless travels and how you dive into these cultures fearlessly and get out of the rut that you're in your normal day-to-day life. I mean, you have responsibilities here. You have, things that you've established here. How do you just up and leave those things and go on a wild adventure? Most people would love to do that, but they're scared.
Yes, because I'm leaving a career behind, and oh no, what if I'm sabotaging my career? All my clients, workshops that I had,
totally.
Got to put everything on hold. But I thought, if not now, when? And my daughter's, this is first grade for her. I thought it's better to disrupt her for first grade because I homeschooled her for kindergarten because I traveled a lot. And I thought, this is great for her. I could establish Soul Blazing in Europe. I'm speaking in France. I'm speaking at a conference in Ireland, Dublin. And wow. Now London is called to do a reality show over there. So I'm working it over there and spreading Soul Blazing over there. And I just been there 3 months. So what's going to happen in the next 6 months? So I thought, there's never an end. If you're supposed to do something, you're going to do it. If everything fell apart here, so what? So what? You start again. Because if, like you, if you're on your mission, if my mission is to heal the planet, to help people, and it's not about the money, I think money comes when you're on purpose. So if my mission is to heal people, why would the universe conspire to sabotage me?
Hmm.
It won't.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
But what about all the things that go wrong?
There's a lot that goes wrong.
Yeah.
I went there thinking, woo, Barcelona, here I come. And it's like, oh, no, Netflix. I love watching documentaries and spiritual shows on Netflix at nighttime. I love Pandora. I'm writing a book over there about traveling with your kid. And I love playing Pandora. No music. Their TV has three Spanish stations, and it's a small, like, 1980s TV that has the fuzz going on it. I have no car. It's taxis everywhere. My daughter's school is an hour away, which I thought it was probably 15 minutes away. I mean, 100 obstacles.
Yeah.
The food, you know, they're all about bread and cheese and meat, and I'm a vegetarian. And really, so it's like everything was an obstacle. And we laugh through it every day. Ava and I put on the computer on YouTube, Happy, William Farrell song, I'm happy, and we get up an hour early before school, and we dance to that. We put our pants on. We're happy,
That's great.
As we're getting dressed and put our lunch together. Then we go have breakfast together, a terrible breakfast, but I'm letting that go, the perfection of being a mom. We have croissants and coffee and whatever. But then we zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay, and make up lyrics and different accents and languages to her bus stop. So we make it fun and sit at her bus stop. Now we found a bus stop that the school will take her to school. Then she's on it for an hour. But the bus stop is 20 minutes away. And she was going, Mom, I don't like this. But now she made friends. And she's like, I love going on the bus now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And she's...
Experiences for her are great. And she's six, seven?
She's six.
She's six, yeah.
Yeah. And she was saying, I'm looking forward to meeting all my friends that I don't know, was her attitude. So that's a great attitude to go into a new school. And there's 21 kids in her class, and all of them are from a different country.
Oh, my gosh.
One's from Pakistan, one's from Greece, one's from
France. Oh, what a great experience there.
So it's amazing. And now she's like, I got to learn Spanish, Mom, because three kids don't speak this English, but they speak Spanish. So she runs home. Let's practice our Spanish. And there's two Spanish classes a day for her. So that was my goal, too, to help her learn another language, to be passionate about connecting to people internationally, not just what's in front of her.
What about the parents there? Have you connected with them as well and got to meet several
Yes, I have. Not as much as I would like to at this point because all of them moved there. And I moved there for a Barcelona experience. Mm. And Esplugas is almost just like L.A. It's, none of the buildings are interesting and there's no cabs. So I really, if I wanted to go into Barcelona, I'd have to then come to Barcelona and back because she's in school all day. So I have 6 hours. I want to experience Barcelona, so I'm choosing to stay.
Have you experienced it?
Oh, yeah. Every day walking around for 6-7 hours, going to the beach. I live 3 blocks from the beach and right in the Gothic area where all the beautiful buildings are. It's just incredible, the cathedrals and Picasso Museum. So I'm just living in the museums and walking around and taking in these buildings. I got a sketchbook. I'm sketching.
Nice.
I'm journaling.
And then how do you afford it in terms of you said the money will come. You follow your dreams and the money will come. How do you do that?
Always creating. And so when I went there, I created an online program and promoted that. So it's selling a lot.
Brilliant.
And yeah, and then I'm back here for 3 weeks. And before I went, I started interviewing people. Now I interviewed 70 fabulous people, including yourself.
Ah, this is what you did. Yes.
Yes. And now I've got 70 in the can, and I'm going to do about 10 or 15 more before I head back. And then that's going to go on. And then, you know, so you're always creating them. People find you and say, oh, I want this. That's how I got the work in Barcelona. So then they Google me here and say, oh, she's doing all this. Why don't you speak here?
Yes.
And the money's coming in through that.
What a fascinating story that you have. And I love the inspiration that you provide to people because you have figured it out. And I love that you were able to use the internet and create the business that you want, even though you don't have internet there.
Yeah, it's just really a faith and saying my goal is to give back and wake people up and help inspire and help people see their vision and understand what they want their legacy to be and live from that point.
What do you want your legacy to be?
To help shift the world in a positive way, however that looks. I want to be a blessing in the world.
Mm.
Have my life count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Working on it.
You're working on it. Work in progress. Absolutely.
Yes.
So, with your daughter, what do you recommend? You said you're writing a children's book. What do you recommend in terms of parenting that you just take away from it all? If you could give us an overarching theme on parenting, what is it? How do you play?
Be present is the biggest thing. Whether you have 1 hour a day, 10 hours a day, creating events out of nothing, like our morning ritual, just doing 15 minutes of happy, makes her laugh so hard, and we see who could do the silliest dance as we're doing it instead of, Ava, wake up. The alarm went off. Come on, we got to go to school. Rush, rush, rush. Mm-hmm. Hurry, hurry. Wake up an hour early so you could really have that time to play and let her be slow if she's having a slow morning. Even if she's more tired, if you went to bed a little, it's still better because an hour is not going to make that big a difference compared to the joy being silly and laughing so hard till our bellies hurt every morning and who could do the silliest, goofiest songs then zippity-doo-dying. She never bores of that. It's like, again, Ava? Yeah. So just doing that. So it takes a lot of energy. But the results are you're creating a kid with joy in their heart and you're going to reap the rewards when they're a teenager. I'm hoping. Jury's still out.
It's a step-by-step process.
Yeah, I think you do the work now or you do it later.
That's one thing I've noticed. So you talk about the imposter model and about all these different, you know, wounded child and so forth. When you're raising your child, do you ever think about what she might take on? Do you think this is part of this of the human experience to find that shadow, that imposter?
I do that now with her. That's how I raise her. When she's persnickety or, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to take a bath. Who is that? And then she'll say, oh, it's my narcissist. Or she'll say, she'll cry if I did something. What's wrong? My wounded inner child's hurt because you said you would take me here and now you can't.
My wounded inner child.
So then I say, okay, let's talk to your wounded inner child. What happened? Tell me so we can understand. Use your words. Don't cry. Use your words. And she'll say, well, you said this and then da, 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 da. And then we work it through. And then she's back. Oh, Ava's back. Yay. You know, whatever it is. So we give it funny names. Like my
multiple personalities.
Yes, totally. Like my mean mom is jihadi face. Mom, you're being jihadi face. I'm like, okay, you got to calm her down. You know, it's just we laugh. Or if she doesn't want to do something, I love acting and I love play. I think play is the best way to raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to take a bath. Oh, are we going to play good baby, bad baby, good mommy, bad mommy? And she'll go, okay. And I'll say, exaggerate that, honey. Say, I don't want to go to bed in a big way. And then I'm going to come in the door. Then I don't want to do it. Then I'll come in, rawr, you get to bed and da, 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 da. And then we laugh and laugh. And I said, now be good baby and exaggerate it. Oh, sure, mom, I would love to. I'm like, oh, darling, rubbing her forehead. And then we giggle and laugh. And then, okay, let's go to bed. And we do it. So that's instead of yelling at her, I told you this is what you have to do. So it's all keeping the heart open and happiness alive.
Those are fun tips. Those are great techniques to get to parent and to have fun, to create your own games.
And you both have fun.
Which is great. Yes. So who else did you interview for the Legacy series?
Oh, John Cryer, Ben Vereen, Yakov Smirnoff, Brianna Brown, Alexis Cara, Lee Aronson, a lot of people.
You ask them all for what their legacy is in the world?
Yes. What do you want your legacy to be? Yes.
And what did you find was the theme or through line? Or did you find that most people wanted to be of contribution? Or what was
that
it?
That was the main theme. Most people wanted to contribute in some way at a higher level, or they wanted their life to mean something when it was all said and done. And a lot of these successful people, you know, I interviewed composers and a lot of different people, and all of them, a couple of shamans from Europe and Sufis, and they all said, you know, life is a work in progress. Basically, we're a spiritual being having a human experience. And to get to that place of love, you know, everyone wants to be loved and know how to give love. Mm-hmm. So to get to that place where you could have that for everyone and do it through your work, whether it's your music, your art, your craft, parenting, teaching, that's their legacy, to do that the best they can and to touch the world.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, you have an event coming up in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Yes. And when is it?
It's November 20th at the Sofitel, and it's an event about your legacy. And it's about a conversation about what you want your legacy to be. And we're honoring Kids in the Spotlight, a nonprofit that has really given a lot to children, foster kids. So this is the first annual award ceremony about really making a big difference to really reaching your legacy. And this woman started it off, and her name is Tai Chi Charity. And that's her married name. She said before she had Charity, she was just working in an office. Once she married a man with her last name, Charity, and that became her. She said she started thinking about it and created this event, which is crazy. She takes foster kids and has them write, direct, and act in their own films, then gives them created a film festival and a red carpet experience for them.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it shifts them forever. So we're going to, you know, we raise money. We're going to give them a large sum of money to keep doing what they're doing and to honor them and give them an award.
Now, there's also a charity that you created as well, right? A foundation.
Yes. Whispers from Children's Hearts is what I've been working on, where we travel. I take groups of people to developing countries, and we, instead of giving money to some organization where a lot of it might get lost, we actually go to an orphanage. What do you need? Oh, you need chickens, you need cows, you need whatever it is. You need another room, a bigger house, and we build it. We hire the construction people. We go get the supplies. We fill their fridge. We get them everything they need. And then at nighttime, they get their soul placed, a dark room with candles, and it's like group therapy, and we work on ourselves, because I found when you give back, you like yourself more. So I have everyone give back during the day. Then at night, they get. And it's a beautiful experience. And then you meet so many wonderful people, and you're seeing the joy in these kids' like eyes, and we bring suitcases filled with supplies from not so good candy, but to t-shirts and Hollywood t-shirts and pencils and pens and notebooks and just everything to help them succeed in life.
That's wonderful. Now, is that charity putting on the event on the 21st?
This one is with Blazing Borders, is what I just created. And Blazing Borders is really about, you know, blazing borders, your legacy, and really interconnecting with people all over the world. So it's presenting this event.
On the 20th?
Yes.
Okay. And then how could people get to know or get involved with the event?
They could go to theblazingborders.com.
Okay.
And email assistant@lisahaisha.com. Okay. Lisahaisha .com.
I know how to spell it.
Yeah. Lisa.
So, okay. So they could find it all at blazingborders.com, and they could find out how to participate in the event. And you will have several of the people from the Legacy Series there.
Yes. A lot of the people there. We're having a 5-piece band. We're having food and drinks and discourse and a conversation about that. And we really want people to leave their, you know, phones in their pocket or whatever, and really make their presence count, because that's what this event is about, really being there and shifting your life and everyone else's. And we have 5 fabulous singers performing a song, and it's going to be wonderful.
This
wonderful
would be event. Great. And some of the kids
red
will be
carpet.
There that do
yes.
the whole experience.
Some of the kids, and we're going to honor someone. Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun evening.
It will
be. You're creating something from nothing all the time, and I think that's an admirable alchemical property that you have.
Oh, I love creation. I'm going to create a big soul blazing events here too next year in September, which is going to be like 300, 400 people to take them through a whole process of even dying and coming back. And it's in the works.
My goodness. You're out there creating. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're here and so great of you to be here in person. And your event's on the 20th. And if people want to go to Lisa Hayes's website, it's blazingborders.com. And you can find out more about the event at that website. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, as always. You're so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. We will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.